Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. That's not Jesse Romero you see on the screen. It's Matthew Arnold, my good friend. And Matt, thanks for sitting in for Jess.
Great to be here, Terry, as always.
Matt, we have a great show coming up. We've got a great quote from Father George Rutler that people are going to want to hear. We got Fulton Sheen. We've got the gospel. We've got the reading from St. Paul. We've got all kinds of things that are going to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. We're also going to talk about a retired Archbishop Chaput from Philadelphia speaking up regarding the rebellion that's going on in the culture. We've got lots to talk about the culture war that's going on. I call it a civil war of morality, and we're going to talk just about that today. And we're also going to bring up the issue with the bishops' meetings next week, and I think people will want to hear Bishop Joseph Strickland's opinion tomorrow. He gives his opinion on this issue of Eucharistic, the Eucharistic question about giving Holy Communion to anyone who's in the objective state of mortal sin, whether it's a politician or a movie star or anyone. And I think it's going to be good. He's a straight-talking bishop, because I think there's 67 bishops who don't want to talk about this, and they send a letter to Archbishop Gomez. And I'm grateful that Bishop Gomez said, go pound sand, we need to talk about this. So much, much more. But before we get into all these great topics that should inspire you to stand up for the faith right now, folks, let's get the readings from today's Mass, the first reading and the gospel also, Matt.
All right, doing both readings. And beginning with the reading from the beginning of the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the holy ones throughout Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all encouragement. Pardon me. Pages are stuck together. Who encourages us in our every affliction, so that we may be able to encourage those who are in any affliction, and with the encouragement with which we ourselves are encouraged by God. For as Christ's sufferings overflow to us, so through Christ does our encouragement also overflow. If we are afflicted, it is for your encouragement and salvation. If we are encouraged, it is for your encouragement, which enables you to endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is firm, for we know that as you share in the sufferings, you also share in the encouragement.
Wow, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, Matthew, that brings back a statement that St. Maximilian Kolbe said back in the 1930s when he was ahead of over 1,000 men in Poland, a Franciscan monastery. He said, gentlemen, there's three stages of life. One, your formation, okay, where you learn the faith and you fall in love with Jesus. Number two, your apostolate, whether you're a husband, father, whatever, a priest, brother, mother. That's the work that you're doing. And then the third stage of life is suffering. And so this is well said, because many times in our culture right now, even some people in our church will deny the fact that without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday, that we have suffering in our life. Matt Arnold, you're father of six children. I'm sure you and Betty have had a lot of suffering, but understanding it from the perspective of the cross gives you great meaning in that suffering. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement, and it makes sense, too, that we pass through these stages. I mean, just the natural part of life would suggest that. I mean, you want to talk to my knees if you want to talk about suffering in the third stage of my life.
Yeah.
Because these are problems that I didn't have as a young man.
That's true.
Also, I think something else that age gives you that also adds to your suffering is perspective.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that I understand differently than I understood as a young man, and the fact that, you know, my only recourse is prayer.
Yeah.
That I can't keep the world from making the same mistakes over and over again. You know, that's a perspective that comes with age.
Beautifully stated. And again, an attitude of gratitude, no matter what comes down the pike.
That's right.
You always see it as God's permissive will, at least, that God permitted something to happen in your life for a greater good. See, that's the attitude the world misses right now. That's why we have some people, even in our church, despairing right now.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, and we can't do that because Christ is counting on all of us. Before we do the second reading, I just want to read something from my meditations on St. Paul. It's a little booklet that the confraternity of the Precious Blood put out, and I read it when I was a younger man, And I was telling Matt off the air, man, I'm going back to reread it because it was so efficacious for me when I was mm-hmm. young that I need to start doing that because I'm getting way too many new books. I'm at the stage now. Go back to the classics.
There you go. and you'll see him with new eyes.
Yeah, and see him.
That perspective thing.
So here's what he said, our prayer. Dear Master, to our, how did I ever get the idea that I could live a smug, comfortable life? I'm reading it to me and to you, our listener. Without concern for the salvation of souls, we all live that way at one point in our life. But it says, who can be neutral? No, we can't be neutral. Being a Christian is a personal commitment. It means becoming the limb of a body, a living, throbbing, mystical body. Being part of the church automatically means you're part of you. See, dear Lord, here's my prayer, and I hope it's your prayer. Dear Lord, let me care for souls, my own soul and others. No more of this nonsense that saving souls is only for the work of your priests. No more of this apathy, which considers that my apostolic work is over once I threw a few dollars into the basket. No way. Let me be vitally concerned to know you, Jesus, and to love you. And then let me radiate your goodness to my family and to my neighbors and my dad, to the entire world. A big amen to that. That's the prayer I read over the weekend, folks. And when you get things from me, it's because I'm speaking to myself first. This is reaching my soul, and I hope it reached your soul. Wow. Okay, Matt, let's get to the gospel, brother. Yes,
today's Holy Gospel, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Mm-hmm. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets that were before you." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. All right. You know what? I have done a lot of kind of research and a lot of commentary over the years on the Beatitudes. Mm-hmm. Hey, oh, there you go. I thought your mic was off there for a second.
Oh, now I hear myself.
Okay.
Yeah, Matt, I just want to set everybody up. Matt, you have done a lot of work on the Beatitudes. You've put out CDs for St. Joseph Communication. Mm-hmm. So I want everybody to listen up because this is going to be good.
Well, you know, Scott Hahn said something that resonated with me when I first converted. Mm-hmm. He said, this is the Beatitudes. Beatitude means blessing.
Yeah.
And in, you know, even in some translations, it'll say happy.
Yes.
And he said, boy, with blessings like these, who needs curses?
That's right. I remember that.
and I kind of feel the same, you know, because it's counterintuitive. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the persecuted and so on. But actually, this is it's a blueprint. It's a key for happiness in this life as well as
Amen.
In the next.
Amen.
And we don't have time, obviously, to do a long exegesis on this. But a couple of things quick. First is he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know what the rest of these are? It will be. They will be comforted. They will have their fill. They will. All future tense, except for this in the end. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the bookend is, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Matt, let me just jump in for a minute, because mm-hmm. I want you to continue on the other side of the break. I'd rather have a little bit more time.
Sure.
This is so important for us. I'll never forget, folks, when I was in high school, when I read this seriously. Okay, I mean, in other words, I'm sure I read it, never really went right
resonate.
Over my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I remember reading it, and I said, wow, and the priest told me, this is the core of the gospel right here. You need to reread this on a regular basis. I'm going to recommend, as your spiritual fitness trainer, that Terry and Matt, and you, our listener, take out your Bible on a regular basis and read Matthew chapter 5 on a regular basis, because it really gives you focus in this world. So that's what we're going to talk about when we come back from the break. Just a quick note, all you monthly donors, Matt Arnold will be there with his wife. I'll be there with my wife. Friday, we have a benefit dinner for our monthly donors. here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. I think it's the 11th of June, and then we have the men's conference. Hearts at the 12th. I'm mixed up, but it's this Friday. Then we're going to have a men's conference. Archbishop Joseph Strickland will be giving a presentation on the life of St. Joseph. Friday's the 11th. That's the dinner. And the 12th will be the men's conference. And Eddie Chavez will be here. All our staff will be here Friday night for the dinner. If you're a $25 a month donor, you're welcome to come. If you want to come and become a monthly donor, call us at 877-526-2151 or go online to vmpr.org to register for that. And also at the same time, there's going to be more conferences this summer as California opens up. We're planning more and more conferences. The good Dr. Sandoval is going to be doing one. I think it's August 7th, and that'll be coming out soon on our website. And that's going to be on sexuality. It's going to be a beautiful teaching on marriage. And what, because we want to be able to answer the culture of death. Well, we got to know what our faith is.
Amen.
We come back. Matt Arnold's going to finish the gospel commentary on the Beatitudes here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We thank you for listening. We thank you for your support. And when we come back, we hope to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ. And I might add, his bride, the church. That's our focus here at VMPR. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry Barber with Matt Arnold filling in for Jesse Romero. We've been talking about the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, the Beatitudes. And I asked Matt to continue because there's a lot to be said here. And this is the core of the gospel. So, Matt, can please continue.
All right. Well, certainly we could do the whole show on this.
Oh, we could.
Sit down together and write a book about it. But for our purposes today, I wanted to point out, as I mentioned before the break, the book ends. Mm-hmm. That poverty of spirit and persecution for the love of righteousness are according to our Lord, things that make the kingdom of heaven ours right now here today, not at some time in the future, but now. And poverty of spirit is really what you would call, Terry, living in the presence of God.
That's
or abandonment
correct.
To divine providence.
Yep.
It's about accepting everything that happens to you, as you mentioned before, as something that God either wills or allowed. Everything that comes into your life comes from the hand of a loving Father. And to see it that way, that's what our Lord is on about when he talks about poverty of spirit. Also, he says, blessed are those who mourn for this to be comforted. Again, here, the fathers and doctors have told us that mourning is not so much about, you know, the sadness over the circumstances in our lives, but our contrition. It's about mourning over our sins. That's the thing that is where God can comfort you. You're not bound by those bad things that you did. You can be forgiven. You can receive absolution through the sacraments of the church. And the other one, which I think is really twofold in its importance, and it, the fact that it's so misunderstood, is meekness. Mm-hmm. Blessed are the meek. And, you know, I often say meekness is not weakness. Because when we hear the word meek, we think of a person who's timid or maybe doesn't stand up for themselves, right? That kind of thing. But actually, meekness is the virtue that is opposed to the vice of anger. Meekness is what's on display when when Christ is silent before Herod or Pilate. He could at any moment wave his arm, bring the lightning down, cause the fire to fall, but he doesn't do that because he's going to go to the cross and give himself up for our sins, right? And so he showed what it's really like a self-control meekness, that you don't let your lower nature get the better of you, all right? And that's incredibly important. When he sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, that's meekness on display, and it's anything but weakness.
Matt, can I just jump in? I remember years ago, William Barclay, that Bishop Sheen had given me he recommended his commentary, and I remember him saying meekness also is teachable. In other words, being meek is that you're open to being taught. I mean, it's like, it just goes back even to the Greeks when Socrates said, if I'm smart, it's because I know nothing. I'm still learning. So being a meek person, in a sense, can be also a teachable person.
Well, it's still connected, because that's the thing. When I come along and say, you know, really, Terry, you're in error here.
Yeah.
it's meekness to go, am I? Like, let me look as a,
yeah.
How would somebody typically react when somebody,
you're crazy. I'm right always.
Yeah. Anger. That's, you know? And again, so meekness is a key for happiness, because getting to know God and to love God and having the humility to serve God, that's how you get to heaven.
That's it.
That's how you're happy now. Final thing, just because it ties into what we're going to talk about next, is blessed are the clean of heart or the pure of heart. Why? For they will see God. One of the biggest impediments between people today and the clarity of vision as regards to the true religion is that we are not clean of heart. No. That we put other things, especially, of course, you know, it's the most obvious maybe would be the sexual sins that our country is just so deeply involved in and promoting even. That point, that obscures your vision. I think that obscurity of vision is what explains, I think, sometimes when you see even priests and prelates say things that seem so completely at odds with the teaching of our Lord. It's because, you know, they lack that singleness of intent and that purity of heart. All right. And that's it for me.
Thank you.
There's lots more to say, but
no, there's so much more. But, you know, I'm going to tell our listeners, and you can correct me, but Matt, I find it edifying to talk about the meaning and purpose of life on the radio a whole lot more than the scandals of the church, the problems we're facing. But I understand also we have to address error with truth.
Right.
And we see a lot of error out there right now. But you said the clean of heart. I thought of this old term, and it goes back when I was a child when I first heard this term, the custody of the eyes. And meaning that we have to be careful on what goes in our vision.
Right.
So what we read, what we see, this is very important today.
That's right. And it's not just sexual topics either. That custody of the eyes needs to be maintained, because it is custody of the eyes, again, is how you overcome concupiscence of the eyes.
There you go. Well said. Let's bring this, talking about overcoming concupiscence. You know who's been the greatest friend of mine? Has been Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Let's bring him into the room. Full Sheen ahead. This fits right into our theme about persecution and suffering from the Beatitudes. Bishop Sheen says, one great mysterious fact that is not generally known to the world is that whenever there is persecution on the account of the faith, it always results in a vast catch of souls for the kingdom of God. Tertullian was right when he said, blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church.
Man.
You know, Matt, I think of the church in China right now, and I'm going to bring them up because I feel so bad because they seem to be not getting support even from Holy Mother right now. And the communists are just doing them in. They're burning down their churches. They're putting the priests in jail. They just put another dozen or two priests into jail for proclaiming the gospel. And so I would say that I've read that the future church in a world, we got Africa and Asia, because the West, which is including us, we've walked away from the cross. And many of those souls in Asia and in Africa have actually carried their cross.
Yeah.
And I think that this is so true. One more quote. Bishop Sheen has a very good friend. His name is Father George Rutler. Now, I say this because Father Rutler's a convert to the Catholic faith from the Anglican Church back in the 70s. And there were people who said, oh, he preaches like Fulton Sheen. He spoke at St. Agnes Church in New York on Good Friday. And he says, I don't think so. You know, he told people, don't ever say that. I admire him so much. But here's what Father Rutler said about our church right now and what's going on. He said, the spirit is a sword, and written on the sword is an inscription. Do not use me unless your heart is in the battle. And I thought when I read that over the weekend, Matt, that do not use the sword unless your heart is in the battle. I thought, wow, you've got to really... there's some wisdom there, because we're in a battle over our souls. We're in a civil war of morality going on in our culture right now. And we need Christians of goodwill who understand the meaning and purpose of life to fight like a spiritual man who knows that we're fighting spiritual realities, and that is the Satan is loose. We know that all the things that are going on in spiritual war from the Jesus 911 show that Jesse talks on, all these horrible things that are happening with Satanists, we have to respond with our prayers, with our sacrifices, and the way that we live our life. So that shifts right into the next topic, Matt. Good friend of mine, I'll tell the fun story about Archbishop Chaput many years ago. We're talking, Matt, I think it was in the 90s.
Okay.
I'm at a conference recording the Church Mile High Congress in where else? Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
And he just became the new Archbishop of Denver. And I'm there with my young family having dinner because I'm recording his conference. And I have no idea how our Archbishop Chaput knew who I was. He walks over to my table with my family and introduces himself. I was like, I saw him coming. I'm like, he's coming over by here.
Yeah,
no, he's not coming to my table. You know, I'm like, I'm getting a little nervous.
Sure.
And the Archbishop greets me and puts his hand on some Archbishop Chaput.
That's great, because that's a moment that's like, it's just like a cross between a celebrity or like a movie star and the principal of the school.
Yeah, exactly. So he says to me, Terry, I've always admired the work of St. Joseph Communications. I want to make an offer to you to come move your shop, your place, to move your home with kids to Denver, Colorado, and I'll give you a free building to work and do the work you're doing. It'll be at the Chancery office. Well, I was dumbfounded. I mean, I was overwhelmed by his graciousness, and it took me a little bit, but I wrote him a letter of, you know, thanking him for the offer, but I really believe that God wants me where I'm at right now, and he's been very good to us, writing endorsements of what St. Joseph Communications has done over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why do I bring it up? Well, he's been retired for a couple years.
Huh.
And he went over to Philadelphia. Well, now he's saying, he's the emeritus Archbishop of Philly.
Right.
He's joining a growing course of Catholic leaders pushing back the transgender movement and the gender ideology. What he's doing is he went on Fox News. Now, wait, this is, right. He goes on Fox News with Tucker Carlson, and he says this, and I happen to agree. He says that he's calling transgenderism the final rebellion against God. And he explains about that, because I was like, well, that's interesting. He says, I'm a retired archbishop. I get that. But I'm linking this idea of sex change to Benedict XVI, 2011. I had forgotten this statement, but it's profound. The attempt for the foundation of sin of adultery in an interview with Tucker Carlson. He says, you know, Catholics talk about original sin. Other Christian communities talk about the sin of Adam and Eve. You know, we're talking about that, which they wanted to be like God. They didn't want God to tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to do it their way, he said. Now, I can go on, but Matt, that's exactly what's going on today, 2021.
Absolutely.
We're saying we got a better idea. Instead of giving God his due, he says, you give to someone else or something else what belongs to God.
Mm-hmm.
He continued. He says, I have to call it for what it is. It's adultery. It's the foundation of sin. It's the most dangerous sin. And it leads us down the path of making ourselves the center of creation. Is he onto something, Matt?
Yes. Yeah. Well, the sin of idolatry. Yeah, exactly. It's alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is that you look at the ancient world and all of the,
yes,
you know, the statues and the monument and all this stuff. But what do those gods represent? It's sex, money, and power. And, you know, and it's the same big three idols that we still idolize.
Nothing new under the sun.
Yeah. And that, and our, of course, our own will.
Yeah.
You know, that becomes an idol in itself. And it is a particularly pernicious modern conceit that our desires are intrinsic.
Yeah.
That what I want and how I feel, that's the real me, right? Reason, that's all cluttered. That's influenced, overwhelmed by forces outside of me. No. It's just what I feel. That's what's real. That's terrifyingly wrong. Aquinas put it very well. He said, truth is conforming the mind to reality.
Amen, brother.
And we need an awful lot of that right now.
And when we come back, Archbishop Chaput is also going to discuss the sexual revolution, how that was tied into all of this,
ooh,
and much, much more here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Hope you're falling deeper in love with Jesus, because I love talking about Jesus, and I know Matt does too. We'll be back with more. Stay with us on The Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to The Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to The Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold sitting in for Jesse. I was giving a teaser when I said that Archbishop Chaput is giving his interview to Tucker Carlson on Fox News, and he's talking about this idea of transgenderism as a final rebellion against God. If you just tuned in and you want to hear all of it, it'll be on our podcast because it's important what the Archbishop is saying. And then I teased you with this before the break about what does he have to say about the sexual revolution? What's the tie-in there? He says that the sexual revolution describes it as another great rebellion against the Creator and the direct contributor to sexual and gender pathologies like transgenderism. You know that sexual revolution was also a great rebellion against God, he said. It was rebelling against the way God made our bodies and the way God cremated human sexuality. But now it comes to the point where they're even thinking that we should have control over the kind of human beings we are. Matt, I want to just say something about the sexual revolution and how it has affected the world. We have right now 330 million souls in America, and 110 million people, that's one out of three, have an STD. And I'm not talking about a degree in something. This is a sexually transmitted disease. Yes. And the reason
that's an important point. If you see the name of a priest and it says STD, that would be his doctorate in sacred theology.
That's right. I was trying to make it a little jovial here. And it's not joke, but the point of it is
it's not.
One third of the population. Now, why is that? Because we've gone against God's law of our nature that God has given a man and a woman in our gift of sexuality. We've lost it because we don't know what God's design is. And you know, Matt, I remember St. John Paul II saying this, and I will never forget, when you see error, present the truth.
Well, you know what, Terry? This is so funny, because I teach RCIA.
I know you do. Know,
and this is a popular topic, and so it comes up.
Yeah.
Why is the church so hung up on sex?
Yeah.
All right? That's the thing. It's like, Terry, the church is not hung up on sex. I'm going to give you the church's teaching on human sexuality right now.
Quickly.
Sex is only legitimate when it is between one man and one woman within the bonds of marriage.
Simple as that.
The end.
I love it.
The 12 verses or so in Matthew chapter 19 is everything you need to know, you know, in regard to marriage.
Right.
And the fact that, and that's the missing thing when Father Martin or other people tweet about the blessing of homosexual unions, blah, blah, blah. Bottom line, it comes down to this. That sexual relationship is only legitimate within the bonds of marriage, and more, narrow that focus for a Catholic, within holy matrimony.
Yes. And that's by the design of God.
Yeah. One man, one woman for life, or until death do us part, right?
Yeah.
That's the teaching. And it's so important. You told a story. Let me tell you a story.
Tell me.
When I was in the sixth grade, Adidas shoes became popular.
Oh, I remember.
Back in the 60s. And they were like, it was like a white shoe, I think, with three black stripes on it.
That's
that was
right.
The one that everybody had to have. And I petitioned my mom and dad for a pair of those Adidas sneakers. And they took me to JCPenney, and they got me the JCPenney version, which was essentially identical, except it had four stripes on it. Mm-hmm. Little did I know that when I wore those to school, people would point this out in derision, that I didn't have a real pair of Adidas shoes.
Oh, that's funny.
And I was humiliated over it, or they attempted to humiliate me over it. And I made that determination. I was, 12 years old?
Yeah.
12 years old. That I realized that I'm never going to buy something or buy into something again because the culture tells me it's the cool thing to do. I'm gonna use a discerning eye on these. Now, I'm a human being, but that's the thing is we have to understand that we are, there's a great deal of pressure on us, and this influence comes from many sources. And now with what I have come to refer to as the diabolical rectangle, it is invading children's lives like never before in history.
Yeah.
And all of our desires, including our intellectual desire, including the desire to understand, all of those things are being influenced by outside forces. And what we need to do is ask us, You know, every time something comes along, so I said to my kids, you know, they're get into this, they're into that. I asked myself, is it bringing you closer to God? And that's the question. If it's bringing you closer to God, it's a good thing. And if it's not, and especially if it's the opposite, if it's taking you away from God, then it's something you need to avoid. And it's really, you know, it breaks down that simply.
Matt, what you just said, advice for parents is gold, okay? Is it bringing me closer to God? Yes or no?
Yeah.
It's quite simple.
That is it. That's pretty much the whole question in a nutshell.
And Matt, here's the culture we're up against right now. And mom and dad that are listening right now, I'm sure these shows would probably, I never showed these shows to my kids. I don't think I've ever seen Nickelodeons or Blue Clues. But all these, there's more than a dozen leading kids shows, TV shows, that are peddling the LGBT Pride
right.
Month. Okay. I'm just going to be honest with you. I just think if your kids are watching this, they stop it. I mean,
well,
I'm just
you know,
being...
Terry, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a secret. You and everybody listening, a secret about Hollywood is that it starts where it starts. And you get maybe a season, you get maybe two seasons, and then you're ingrained. And then, very oftentimes, people are brought in that are not even part of the original production team.
Wow.
People are brought... The preachers come in,
mm-hmm.
right? You've run through... A couple of seasons, you've run through all the stories. You know, I mean, there are only so many stories
sure.
in literature, really.
Sure.
I think it's been broken down to 15 or 16 plots that, you know, kind of cover everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you've done everything. You've done all the stories. So now it's about, you know, teaching the poor, benighted American public about what they really, really need to know, right?
Wow.
And so, again, when I was working on Friends
mm-hmm.
back in the 1990s,
mm-hmm.
And it was the hit TV show at that
sure,
time.
Sure, big time.
Gay marriage was hardly on the radar, yet we did... a two-part episode called The One with the Lesbian Wedding.
Wow.
Okay?
Back then.
That was back then.
Wow.
So, you know...
It was coming.
A lot of these things, they start fine. They start good, even.
Yeah.
And then these other things will infiltrate after you're already absorbed in it, you know,
yeah.
after it's already become a habit for you.
Well, that makes sense. Well, I just want to go on record and saying thank you, Archbishop Chaput, for speaking out as clearly as you have, because I think this is going to give us Christians... fuel to say, wait a minute, not on my watch. We're going to stand up and say, I'm not going to support this, and I'm going to speak out. So I thank you again, Archbishop Chaput. Matt, I'd like to shift gears. We're never going to get sure. to all of our topics, but this is a very important topic. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. I just read over the weekend again something that was a nugget regarding every time you receive Holy Communion. They were quoting St. John Paul II. He said it's like a foretaste of your heavenly kingdom because it's heaven coming down to earth. And I think that we can keep that in mind the next time we receive Holy Communion, and it's still true. But the topic here, Matt, we've brought it up before, and that is our bishops are going to be meeting mid-June, that's next week,
yes.
regarding the summer session. And on the agenda is to talk about the Holy Eucharist as should we have a real clear definition of who can receive Holy Communion worthily, whether it's politicians or movie stars or the hoi polloi, anyone, mm-hmm. to say if you're objectively a public sinner, which the church makes it already clear, the Bible is very clear on this,
yes.
but they're going to be, debating this, discussing this. But, you know, this has been debated since Cardinal Ratzinger back in 2004 sent that letter to Cardinal McCarrick, who lied about the letter and didn't give the correct statement of the letter, changed it. And they've been dealing with this for, you know, 18 you know, years of discussing it. But I just want to take this to say that Archbishop Gomez is still said he's going to put it on the agenda after 67 bishops wrote a letter to the bishop, Archbishop Gomez, as the president of the Bishops' Conference, saying, please take it off the agenda. And I'm putting my words into it, but he basically told him to go pound sand. Mm. We're going to discuss this.
Well, it is important.
And you have to
look at the motivation behind a bishop who would say, I don't want to talk about Eucharistic coherence. I don't want there to be a policy.
What?
You know, I mean, it's like, I don't want to judge anybody, their motivation, but what could possibly be behind that?
Yeah.
How could it possibly be a good idea to kick this can down the road or to sweep it under the rug?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's very clear that there are plenty. Well, it's just like plenty of lay Catholics. There's lots of times when you have a perfect opportunity to bring something up and you shut up instead and you go along, or get along to go along, or go along to get along, whatever the expression is. And there's plenty of bishops, I'm sorry to say, whose episcopate is essentially going along to get along.
Yeah.
They don't want to offend people because they have other concerns. It's like, well, you know, maybe some of the people who give a lot of money are advocates of this kind of thing, or maybe, you know, maybe they're big Democratic donors too. And I don't want to lose that. Or maybe, you know, God forbid their own proclivities incline in that direction, but they don't want to out themselves. They just want to be able to remain behind this veil of ambiguity. But it really is time to remember our Lord's word. He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells us why, because anything else is from the evil one.
Right.
Bishops are not, it's not their place to obfuscate. And this is, of course, you know, I've been banging this drum for 20 some years, but it isn't the church's job to be relevant. It is the church's job to be coherent.
Amen, brother. We need
clarity.
Yep. Yeah. Well, this is what Archbishop Gomez said. It's very similar to what you said. He said, it would be a failure in our responsibility as bishops to neglect to address in a timely manner these challenges to what is central to our Catholic spirituality.
Amen.
He says, sadly, there are some bishops and cardinals of the church who not only are willing to give Holy Communion to pro-abortion politicians, but to seek to block the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops from addressing the question of Eucharistic coherence.
Mm.
And so this is Bishop John Pokorky from the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois. But you see, here's the point, Matt. The question is, Archbishop Gomez is going to say, yeah, we're going to discuss this. But there are many, up to 67 bishops who say we shouldn't. And I'll give you one of those names on that list, and that is Bishop John Stowe of Lexington, Kentucky.
Hmm.
And the reason I say that, when I come back, I'll tell you why, who he is, and why he's on that list, promoting that not to talk about Eucharistic
coherence. Yeah, well, I'm interested in hearing that.
But, no, that's myself. My teaser. I tease people at breaks because why he signed it is an interesting note, but it shows you where we are at church and why we need your prayers and your support. We'll come right back. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Matt Arnold sitting in for Jesse Romero. I gave a little teaser at the break about a U.S. bishop joining the list of bishops who are not wanting to talk about the Holy Eucharist, who can receive it at the bishop's meeting. And I mentioned Bishop John Stowe of Lexington, Kentucky. Well, he's a participant in a defiant event on Zoom this week with the LGBT group and dissent Catholics across regarding the sexual abuse. He is actually affirming a Pride Month of the LGBTs. And, you know, he's basically saying that we should be blessing homosexual unions. And he has been very outlandish with his statements for years, and nothing's ever done to this man. He's still the bishop there. He's referred to homosexuals as prophets of the church.
Hmm.
So this is outlandish. Now, he doesn't want homosexuals who are active homosexuals not to receive Holy Communion. I say the same thing if openly fornicators are adulterers.
Well, that's just
this is sinful.
You know, I'm going to address that point really at its basis on my program this week on a No Nonsense Catholic.
Good.
This Wednesday, we just had Corpus Christi.
Yeah,
and you know, Corpus Christi is traditionally the Thursday after Trinity Sunday.
Right.
And in many parishes or dioceses around the world, it's been translated to the following Sunday.
Right. Well,
this year, they actually translated the Feast of Corpus Christi in the extraordinary form as well.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So we had extraordinary form Mass for Corpus Christi this Sunday. Our parish down there had a beautiful Eucharistic procession,
mm-hmm.
and it was a glorious day. But it showed me, it kind of stood out in stark contrast, the difference between the original medieval liturgy of Corpus Christi and the Novus Ordo one, and there is a clue there as to why we are experiencing this Eucharistic incoherence, and I'm going to talk about that.
Oh, that's a
on
teaser.
Wednesday,
right after the Terry and Jesse show. Is that correct?
Sir. That is correct.
And for those who can't get it on their network, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and get the free app, and you'll be able to hear all of our shows, even the past shows.
Right.
Yeah. This is scandalous, Matt, and so I'm not in management. I'm in sales. So we need to be praying for our church leaders to discipline them. I mean that. We need discipline. Just like a parent, if your kids are going out and doing drugs, what do you say? Are they doing something that's endangering their soul, salvation of their soul? Do you just say, oh, well, kids will be kids? No.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it goes back to John the 23rd in his opening speech at the Second Vatican Council. Yeah. He said that we're not going to, you know, no more anathemas, right? Read mm-hmm. my lips. That's my paraphrase. But he says from now on, we're going to use the medicine of mercy. Mm-hmm. And that suggests that admonishing the sinner is not merciful, but it is. It is, in fact, one of these spiritual works of mercy.
Well, our good friend Father Bill Casey said it at our family conference this way, and I know you'll remember this. He said the most merciless thing you can do is let someone wallow in their error.
Amen.
So I think that's what we're doing. And another priest who I pray for him daily in my prayers, Father James Martin, he says he wants you, Matt, me, our listener, to celebrate LGBT Pride Month. And he came out and just said it all. He said all Catholics should celebrate this. And this is the same priest who said, I know what St. Paul said about homosexuality. I just don't happen to agree with him.
Hmm.
Now, I'm sorry, Matt. You talk about pride. That's an example of so much pride.
Well, the reason there isn't a Catholic Pride Month is because pride's a sin.
Oh, that's good. I never thought of it that way. That is funny. Well, we need to pray for Father Martin. And again, we pray for our leaders in our church every Thursday night here at the Sacred Heart Chapel from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We're on our knees praying before the Blessed Sacrament. For what purpose? We pray for our leaders, the Pope, the bishops, the cardinals, the priests, the deacons, all of them in ministry. We are praying for them so that they will, and this is my prayer that I say, that they will teach the perennial teachings of the church. Notice I didn't say that he would be, you know, blessed. No, I want them to do what they're supposed to be doing. And this is what Fulton Sheen encouraged us back in the mid-70s. Call your priests and bishops to be holy and to be priests, be bishops. And so why do I say this, Matt? I say this because we need your prayers also. Now, you can't come to our chapel. I realize we couldn't fit everybody in the chapel, but you can offer your prayers. Because I always bring up Our Lady of Fatima, where she said, souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. I ask myself, I ask you, Matt, I ask all of our listeners, are you willing to pay the price for the dissident priest like Father Martin or a bishop in Kentucky, that's not giving us the teachings of the church? They have souls to be saved. Amen. And we can participate in that. Remember Colossians chapter 1, I fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the good of the church. Mm-hmm. We can become spiritual atomic power plants with our prayers if we know how to direct those prayers and how to offer them up.
And I'll tell you, Terry, Thursday is the perfect night.
Yeah, you know why we do it for Thursday?
Well, you know, I mean,
spirituality.
Yeah, well, Corpus Christi is,
of course, the institution.
It's Thursday, yeah, and it's celebrating the fact that the Last Supper was a Thursday, right?
Exactly.
And without the priesthood,
I get nothing.
And no sacraments.
No, nothing.
You know, and so it's, boy, do we it's more clear in the traditional Mass or Ad Orientem, mm-hmm. Novus Ordo, the Orate Fratres, pray, brethren, that this sacrifice, my sacrifice, which is also yours, will be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
Yeah.
He turns towards the people.
Of course.
To say that. You know why? Because this is, you know, from that point forward in the old ritual, it was always, the prayers were done sotto voce, because it's symbolic of the way the high priest used to enter into the Holy of Holies. And yes, it's him standing there before God, calling God down upon the altar.
Wow.
And when he says, pray, brothers and sisters, right? We really need to, you know, you need to put your heart into the response. May the Lord accept this sacrifice at your hands, because, you know, this is the moment when heaven and earth touch.
Well, Matthew,
and that's why Thursdays, yeah, pray for your bishops and priests.
Absolutely. And Matthew, I know we're at the end of the show, but I want to give a plug for some of your podcasts on VMPR www.thetarryandjesseshow.org. You have a whole, I don't know if it's still up there, but you did a whole series, because this is the old thing. The way you worship is the way you believe.
Right.
And I think you took both rites, the extraordinary form and the ordinary form of the Mass, and you did an analysis. Is that still available to our listeners?
Yeah, that was on Happy Hour, and I did. It was like 2 weeks, like a 14-part series. Yeah.
But I think it's important that our listeners really understand what the Mass is and what it isn't, and how good worship breeds, well, like I say, good right worship will breed holy men and women, because when you worship properly, understanding that the Mass, what from the perennial teachings of the Church, that people will obviously understand the real presence. And I'm going to be honest with you, 80% now of the people in our church don't believe in the real presence. Are you ready for this statistic? I just got it from Pew. Only 10% of the Catholics in America right now even show up for Mass.
Ugh.
Now, if that's 1 out of 10, do you think we've got some work to do?
I think we have some work to do.
And Matt, just finish up a few minutes about what you have to say about why right worship is important, because I just gave you my take.
Yes, lex orandi, lex credendi.
That's the Latin phrase.
The law of prayer, literally, law of prayer, law of belief. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, if you pray like a Catholic, you believe like a Catholic. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the reasons why good liturgy is so important. And I'm not saying that you can't have a good liturgy unless you go to the
No, of course
Latin
not.
Mass. Obviously, there's all, I mean, first thing.
I go to an Anglican ordinariate Mass.
And of course, there's the Novus Ordo that can be done very reverently and beautifully. There's all, and what, it was something like 28 or 30 Eastern.
That's right,
Catholic
different rites.
You know, it's like you can't very well dismiss all of these ancient liturgies because we are particularly attached to one. But all of that being said, the liturgy is important, and the way that you treat the liturgy is important, because it communicates something to your children. If you go to Sunday Mass and it's a hootenanny, then the children are not going to take it seriously.
That's right.
I tell you something, you go into the traditional Latin Mass, you can hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
And man, it's full of young families.
Well, Matt, can I jump in and just say another statistic that's sad? By the time young people are 23 years of age, 87% of those young people have left the church.
Wow.
Yeah,
87%.
87%.
That's a sobering statistic.
Very sobering. But here's
because it's not like it used to be. It's not like those people are rebounding when they get married and have kids. Because for one thing, a lot of them aren't even getting married.
I was just going to go in that direction. You're so you see, I consider this a crisis.
It is. It, no question.
And how do we deal with it? By giving people the perennial teachings of the church.
That's right.
That's the answer.
That's why. I think it was Phil Lawler.
Oh yeah, good.
I just read an article of his the other day where he was saying that because there's a scuttlebutt that there's a document being prepared in Rome to limit the celebration of the traditional Mass, and he was saying that's not a good idea for bishops that care about evangelization. He says because it's the fastest growing area of the church is traditional. I got to tell you something. Here's a dirty secret.
Look at France.
It's not just the fastest growing. It's the only part of the church that's growing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and to stifle that would be a mistake of immense
great
proportions.
Magnitude. And Matt, and again, we hope that doesn't happen.
No.
But I would say this, and we know that Paul VI said it back in the 70s: the smoke of Satan has entered the church. We need to pray for Holy Mother the Church, because we have some wolves. I'll just give my last quote if I have a minute here. And I've mentioned St. John Eudes. He said this: the most evident mark of God's anger. And people got mad when I said this. I got a bunch of, really?
I remember that it was a saint.
I was just going to say that. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the saint. No. He says the most evident mark of God's anger, the most terrible castigation he can inflict upon the world, is manifested when he permits, notice I said the word permit, permits his people to fall into the hands of a clergy who are more in name than in deed, priests who practice the cruelty of ravening wolves rather than the charity and affection of devoted shepherds. They abandon the things of God and devote themselves to the things of the world, and in their saintly calling of holiness, they spend their time in profane and worldly pursuits. When God permits such things, it is a very positive proof that he's thoroughly angry with his people and is visiting his most dreadful wrath upon us. Do you think we might want to make some reparation?
I think
How about
we do.
Expiation? I think so, Matt.
I think so, too. Amen.
Matt, thanks for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt, your show, again, one more plug about Wednesday show.
Right. No Nonsense Catholic, right after the Terry and Jesse Show, every Wednesday here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
And my last question to you and to anybody who listens to our show, I ask, what state should we be in, Matt?
We should be living in the state of grace, Terry.
Absolutely.
And
you
what,
are.
What state should we not be living in?
The state of mortal sin. And I tell you what, I went to confession Sunday. How about you? I'm serious. This weekend, I have to. I can't live without my moral conscience every day going through my examination of conscience. And I hope you do the same. And I want to say thank you for your support here on Virgin Most Powerful. If you're coming to our dinner on Friday, we'd love to have you come. Call us at 877-526-2151. May God richly bless you. And I say it again, full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio.